Just for men, it's good to be back in the Lord's house. Everybody saved?
Amen.
Amen. If you're not, you can be. I trust that you've had a good work week and a good week at school, whatever, wherever the week's taken you. I hope and pray that you've been safe at it and the Lord's blessed you. And we're back here today with a common theme. The Lord wants to help somebody. That seems to be the common theme here lately. I've been trying to encourage God's saints and encourage the unbelievers to get saved by God's grace for some time. It seemed like we started several weeks back with the encouraging messages that the Lord wants to help you. He's a present help in time of trouble. Get your head up, pick your head up, lift up your hands. Over and over and over we've been preaching these messages. And last week we preached on that He is the lifter up of mine head. If you can't lift it up yourself, I'm glad we got somebody that can. Today, as you see over my shoulder, we've got the screen down. It's been said that the Lord taught many times in parables. And I think sometimes a visual goes a long way. And that even Wednesday night, whenever I was in the revival down with Brother Pope at Union Grove at the Calvary down there, we used visuals. And if you've got a copy of the bulletin, you kind of see kind of where my heart was at. And it was the message was on avoiding Satan's snares or Satan's traps. And I took in a rabbit gum that Brother Clayton let me borrow and a coon box trap that Brother Clayton let me borrow. And Brother Joey Combs let me borrow several leg traps and different kinds of traps. And a lot of times when you see those things, that visual sticks with you. It'll remind you for the time to come that, hey, I remember that. That's the same thing that Miss Rebecca once in a while would tell me. She'll say, every time I see a rainbow. And I hear that over and over because we preach the message on the rainbow here. And a lot of times people will see the rainbow and they'll think of that message, of that promise. And the Lord did teach in parables. And this is nothing more than what I'm going to show you. It's a parable. I've shown it one other time here at the church. But it so closely aligns with the message today that the Lord run it back through my heart again. And He basically just said, show it. So we're going to show it. It's about a 3 to 4 minute little video clip. And I want you to see this because this is a true parable. This is from Barcelona, Spain, 1992. There is a runner that pulls a hamstring. And you just watch the video and you'll see what happens. And then we'll read our scripture. I'm not preaching the screen. I'm preaching the Bible. And you'll see where I'm going with that in just a minute. But if I can get Troy and Brother Jody to get the lights, you just give a listen for just a minute. Brother Scott, you just take it from there. Can you get the pulpit light, Brother Chris? It's right behind you, buddy. It's behind the screen probably. Just let the Lord bless you in this. It's a song it's overdubbed with Josh Groban singing, You Lift Me Up. And just watch the screen. And then we're going to bring a message here in just a short time from now about how you can endure the afflictions. And they're there. We've all got them. Just give a watch.
Stormy sea.
2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Folks, the Bible said those that finish last shall be what? Do you realize that we don't know who won the race in Barcelona, Spain? In that, we don't know who won that. It doesn't matter who won that. They're not showing the clip of every winner from 19. That's almost 30 years ago. They're not showing the clip of those who won those 400 meters and who won those half mile runs. But yet they're still showing this one. There's such a parable in that. It's not always how you start off, but how you finish. So in the scripture today, there's two words, and those two words that I will be looking at for the most part today is enduring affliction. To endure something is to regard it without yielding to it. That's to endure, to regard it without yielding to it. That's endurance. And afflictions are nothing more than something that causes distress, great pain, or suffering. So today I want to help somebody today by using the Word of God to endure afflictions. It's a shot in the arm. It's a pick-me-up. It's a keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't yield. Just keep going. Now listen, there might be somebody here today that's on antidepressants. And I'm not telling you not to use a pill, a patch, or a program if that's what you need to be able to sleep at night and to be able to rest. There's people that take medicines for that. I'm not telling you to stop what you're doing. I'm not telling you that at all. But what I am telling you is this: consider Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll consider His Word, because it seems like these messages have almost become redundant. And I'm not questioning God. It's just what God's doing. But I hope that whoever's here today will surely reach way down inside of God's Word and find the strength and get the work and get the help that they need to be able to endure these afflictions that you're going through. I myself endure afflictions. I go through things that cause me great distress. And I'm telling you what, if the Bible's true, and it is, when one hurts, we all should feel that. Bible says we're many members, right? Not everybody's an ear, not everybody's an eye. But everybody's an eye, wherever the hearing be. Everybody's an ear, wherever the seeing be. So we're all part of the same body, though. And like I said, suffice it to say, if I took a 20-pound or a 20-ounce hammer and I took my thumb and I hit that thumb, it's not going to just hurt that member. My whole body is going to revolt in pain. Why? Because I have injured a part of that. And when you endure afflictions and you undergo these afflictions, my friends, you're not undergoing them alone. I invite you today to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word all over the house of God. We're in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Many times I read these scriptures and I just read over them. I grab them and I keep going and I read right through it. And man, I love chapter number 4, the book of 2 Timothy. Why? Because I find my charge in that. I find some help in that. But we're just beyond that charge today. But we will read that for the sake of getting all the things in that the Lord wants us to have. Hey, if you found your place in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, say amen. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Listen at verse 5, because this becomes the text verse for today's message. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love His appearing. Brother Joe, Is he here? Will you go ahead and ask God to bless our scripture reading, and then we'll bring you the message the Lord put upon my heart. Amen. As you're being seated today, let me just start out by saying very, very few of us, if any, could actually say that we enjoy afflictions. I don't know of anybody that would say, I enjoy distress in my life. I enjoy suffering. I enjoy hurt. I enjoy persecution. I enjoy the heartache and the heartbreak. I'm reminded of a verse of scripture in the book of Hebrews, and it come to me as I was driving up the road just a little bit ago, but it was in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, and it was whenever Abraham had said that he would rather enjoy, let me just find the verse of scripture here. I'm in the book of 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm looking for it. I can't even find it now. It come to me coming up the road. If y'all don't think this is hard, come up here and try it sometime. Verse number 25, Brother Chris says, here it is. No, yeah, it is. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was, I said Abraham, it's Moses. By faith, when Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer. It didn't say he enjoyed them, but rather he endured them. It said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So we're going right back to the book of 2 Timothy. Like I said, most of us will never enjoy affliction, but we have to endure them. And when we endure them, Brother John, we will come out stronger on the other side of the affliction. So I go back to the definition of the two words, to regard without yielding, great pain, suffer, sorrow, or distress. So today I want to truly help somebody to be able to endure the affliction. And I don't know what the affliction might be. I do know that in the latter months, in the latter weeks and even days, we've had many diagnoses of acute renal failure. We've had diagnoses of stage 4 cancer. We've had a diagnosis of this and that. And there is great distress and there is great hurt. There's great suffering and there's great affliction among God's children today. But my friends, I'm glad that just as the little video I showed you just a little while ago, when you're running along and all of a sudden you pull a hamstring in this walk of life, in this race that we're running, and you pull up a little bit lame, something that afflicts you, you get the diagnoses of cancer, or whether you get whatever it is that you've got, whether the stress and the burdens become so almost insurmountable and almost unbearable, I'm glad that, bless God, we've got a Father that's yonder in the stands of God's grace and glory, and He's looking down, and just when you think that I'm going to pull up lame right here, Brother John, he just comes swooping in, and the Father will grab you, and bless God, He'll carry you, and we won't have to finish this thing alone. You'll come out okay on the other side. Did you see the security people saying, don't bother him, don't bother the runner, don't bother him? Bless God, we've got people that would be that way. Just let him go, let him be. I'm glad we got a Heavenly Father, Brother Tam, that when we pull up lame or we're going through something, He's not forgot us. And I want you to see, according to the Word of God, that there's several things that will help you if you'll just let God help you. The first thing is found in chapter number 4 in the first two verses, and I want you to remember this. Just remember your charge. You say, what's the charge? The charge come to me to preach the word. The charge is to every one of us. The Bible says for you to obey them, to have the rule over you. Why? Because they're watching. So the charge that comes to me to preach the word, who am I going to preach it to if I don't have some hearers out there? So the charge also goes to you, the hearer. It's not just to me, the preacher. It's to you, the hearer. You say, well, why is it so important? Because the Bible said that we're saved by grace through faith, and that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So let's not ever forget our charge. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter number 5, in verse number 39, He said that we are to search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We ought to be testifying of God's grace and His glory. We ought to be testifying of His goodness, Brother Jody. Why? Because when we search the scriptures and we do not forget our charge. Brother John, it's that calling, and it's that touch, and it's that preaching. It is that very spoken word of God. It is the scriptures of God that will help you when it comes time for you yourself to have to endure the affliction. You might not be the sufferer right now. It might be your brother, but bless God, you're going to get there. So just hang on. You might not be here today, but Brother Chris might. You help him. Our Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. We ought to be doing that, preacher. We ought to be lifting each other up and just helping to exhort one another and raise them up before God, Brother Paul. I don't never forget the charge. It's to get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get inside of you. Don't just get in it, but let it get in you. And when it does, Brother Danny, when them afflictions come, brother, I'm telling you, you can reach way down in the bottom of that barrel, and bless God, there's always going to be some meal down there. You feel like it's empty. I can't go on, preacher. I can't do it anymore. Bless God, there's still meal in the barrel. I promise you that. When you draw out a handful, he throws in a couple more. And there it is. You just keep on going.
Amen.
Don't never forget your charge to get back into the Word of God. Preachers, remember your charge. Deacons, keep serving. Singers, keep singing. Macy, keep playing. Whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God. And do it for His name's sake. And do it for His glory. Don't do it for an attaboy or a pat on the back. Just do it for God's glory.
Amen.
Just remember your charge. Remember what He's telling you. That's very clear in verses number 1 and 2. That we're just supposed to preach. And supposed to tell. Supposed to warn, supposed to exhort, supposed to reprove, supposed to exhort. Look what it said. It said to reprove, to rebuke and exhort. To reprove something is to scold very gently. To rebuke something is a sharp reprimand. To exhort something is to give a strong warning. And this morning I'm telling you, God's warnings and God's gentle scourgings and God's gentle calling and gentle touch, it's all there, even in our affliction, to help us and to help us to feel better.
Amen.
I mentioned this many times around here. Mama made a concoction. I don't know what that stuff was, but every time we ever got a sore throat, at the first advent of the sore throat, don't mention it around Mama. You're going to get some of this. She'd take a couple pieces of whorehound candy and put it in a little glass, maybe a spoonful of honey or two. And then she put in the whatever that other stuff was that would set you on fire. And she had stirred that stuff around in there. And you said, your mama shouldn't have been giving you that stuff. We took it like medicine. Anybody ever take NyQuil? You're probably taking something stronger than I did. But whatever it was in its diluted form, the honey made it stick. The candy sugar made it sweet. But I'm telling you what, that stuff tasted awful. But she would always say, it don't taste good, but it'll help you. Sometimes the Word of God just doesn't taste real good to us. Sometimes it tastes very pleasant to the mouth, but it's bitter in the belly. But sometimes, brother, all the time, it'll help you. Just remember your charge. Remember the commandments of God. They're there for a reason. The Word of God is something so precious, and we could preach the whole message right there of them first two verses, but we got to keep going. Keep going down. And I stopped after 1 and 2 the first time. I said, just remember the charge that God has given to you. Remember this, my friends. There is a challenge ahead of us, so remember the challenge in verses number 3 through 5. It said there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But what? Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. The Bible said that there's going to come a time when people won't want the book. They're going to go from it. They're going to flee from it. They're going to turn from the truth. They no longer have to have any kind of evidence. They just have to have an accusation. They don't care for the truth. They don't have to look for the truth. They don't even want the truth. The truth does not matter to them. They'll call evil good and good for evil. But the Bible said that those that do that are setting themselves up for a fall. So whenever I say remember the challenges, you said, I'm trying to get to the point of enduring my affliction. If you'll remember this challenge, everybody ain't going to love you. Everybody going to talk evil against you. Satan despises you. And Brother Tam, that's some of the things that causes us distress. When we look around at a society that seemingly is godless. Bless God, I'm glad and I thank God for it. He's still got a remnant. And bless God, if we'll remember that, there will be some challenging days ahead of us. Just remember the charge. And remember the challenge that's ahead of us. Troy, keep on preaching. Brother preacher, keep on preaching. Brother Chris, reach way down and find you some gusto and rear back and tell it. If you have to shout it and spit and stammer or just get real down low and cry. I've seen preachers that cuss your heart out. Your former pastor, your cousin, my brother Robbie's former pastor, Brother Joe, your cousin. Brother Joe doesn't raise his voice much, does he? Brother Joe's very soft-spoken. Used to be an Atlanta Braves baseball pitcher. They called him the mathematician. Anybody remember Greg Maddux? He was a surgeon on the pitcher's mound. He cut your heart out. He cut every corner of that plate. He was great. That's the way Brother Joe is. Don't get really excited, but man, just cut your heart out. Take the very word of God. Some of us shout, some of us spit, some of us stutter and stammer, but we're all doing it for the glory of God. And just remember the challenge that's in front of us. They might not like you, Tam Cheek. That's okay. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like me. Everybody's not going to like all of us. Everybody's not going to like Calvary Baptist Church sitting up here on the side of the road. You know what they say about us? They think they're better than everybody else. No, we don't think anything. We believe the book. And believe in the book. If that makes us better than anybody, then so be it. The book's right. We're wrong. Let every man be a liar, but God's word's true. We are to be watchful in all those things concerning this falling away or the turning away. 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says, they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They're going to be evil men and seducers, and they're going to try their best to sway you one way or another. They're going to try to get us to temper and tone the message. And they'll try to get us to quit preaching heavily against sin. But I'm telling you what, just stay united as a happy band. Just stay united as a united group, stand firm together. And whenever these challenges come up, bless God, we can stand strong against them. Just as that father helped that son get across the finish line, bless God, just keep on standing, keep on running, just keep on enduring. And I'm telling you, this stuff will help you if you let it. We keep going. We got to keep going. We ain't even got to the beef of the message yet. Chapter number 4, verses number 6 and 7 says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." I want you to remember your course. Just remember it. You say, "I'm just barely getting by, preacher. I'm just barely running." Let us run with patience. What? The race. What? That's set before us. What kind of race? The race is set before us. The one that God's got for you to run. You're not running the race of Arun Patel. We're running. He'll run his own race. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What? Who despised the shame. And brothers, Chris, it's there, but you can't run carrying around a bunch of baggage. You can't run the race carrying around a bunch of dead weight. You need to get rid of that stuff. That's why the Bible said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run it with patience, Brother Danny." Just remember the course. It's been established. And that runner that was going around there, he had a lane, and that lane was his to run in. He might have been number 5 or 6 over. I didn't pay any attention to his runner number, but he had a race. There was one in each one of those lanes. He had to get in his lane, and he stayed in his lane. He worked with his lane. Bless God, you've got a lane. You've got a lane. You've got a lane. I've got one. Bless God, get in that thing. Brother Paul right here, he said, "I've run mine." And bless God, he didn't forget the course that God had put him to do. Look how others fall on. Look how others sacrifice. You go back to the Bible. Look at the ones that got beheaded. Look at the ones that was crucified upside down. Look at the ones that were scourged and beaten and bruised. And yet we think we've done some great thing by running a race. We've not done anything. Look at your own testimony. What's it saying before others? He said, "I pulled up lame. I ripped a hamstring. I believe I'll just sit down over here. Somebody hurt me. Preacher, I got hurt. I'm just going to sit here." Or even worse than that, "I believe I'll just go home. I believe I'll just go to the house. I ripped my hamstring. Brother Chris offended me. He picked on me when I was preaching. I'm going to go home and sit down. Somebody said something." Brother, you ever been hurt in church? How many times over? Because you counted on both hands and both all your fingers and toes. You couldn't count of the times you've been hurt. But bless God, you remember the course. You don't just give up. You keep on going. I know you've been hurt. I've seen some of the hurt. I've seen you miss a nap. My own sister-in-law, I know you've been hurt. I know the things that we face. Many of you in here are here at this very church because you got hurt somewhere. But just keep on enduring. Don't yield to the pain, the infliction, and the suffering, the distress, and the hurt and heartache. Just remember your course, Brother Joe. Keep on going, son. God's got something for you. We ain't even there yet, but most of y'all know where this is going. What he gonna give you? We ain't got there just yet, but preacher's already over there. If you ain't noticed yet, we kind of got a little theme going here. Remember your charge, right? Remember that. Right. Remember your calling that God's got on you. Remember your charge on your life. Remember the challenges ahead.
Right.
Remember your course. You're in this thing, running. Well, ask God to do something at the end.
Amen.
Yes. We ain't there yet, but some of you is already there in your heart. I look at others that run this thing, and I wasn't here. So I can't call them all, but to help you, I'll try to pick up a few names. Are there anybody that come through here that run their race, that endured affliction, and have finished well? I look at your daddy. You said, he ain't dead yet. No, bless God, he's still running and would still be preaching if it were possible that his body, bless God, but he run well. And Miss Minnie Blackburn, you look at Brother Hobart Bumgarner and the Cecil Hoopers of this world, a preacher, they run well. They remembered the course that was set before them. Remember the Lester James and the Brother Hobart. You remember Brother Earl and you remember Brother, all these people, bless God, they run and they run well. And bless God, we don't need to back up, sit down, sit aside, Brother Danny, now, because we just got to keep on running.
Amen.
What's your testimony going to say about you when you get there? Let's just say, for the sake of saying, that the Lord told me to leave now. And this was my last service here, and I left. And I took the path that Brother Felmy did. I went on to another vineyard. That's what Brother Felmy did. Y'all thought he went home, sit down. No, he went to the other end of the county to reorganize the church. God bless him. What's my testimony going to be saying? Would it say, man, he tore that thing up? How would that be? That a preacher would be known as one that just goes from church to church, usurping his authority, ripping up people and hurting the cause of Christ and leaving a big wake behind him of hurting and hurt starving people. That'd be awful. Bless God, when I leave here, I want to leave y'all. Bless God, with your wounds mollified and with some ointment put in there. Leave here with y'all proud, shouting and praising God. Whether it be by a grave or whether it be by God moving me on, I want to leave it better than I found it.
Amen.
I want God to remind me once in a while that I might remember my course. Look at your own testimony. What's this saying? After you're gone, what's it going to be saying? Boy, your daddy's, Brother Tam, lives on. He's still here. You come back after, what did you say, 35, 36 years. He mentioned that in our Sunday school class this morning as he was teaching. He said, I left here 35, 6 years ago. And he said, whatever I found when I got back, he said, that blessed his heart.
Amen.
He said, that same spirit that he left was still here. You know why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's God and he changeth not. So just remember your core. See how you're walking. Walk worthy. See how you're not just walking, Brother Christmas. See how you're working. Are you doing anything? Nah, I will leave that up to you and the deacons. Well, thank you for nothing. Thanks for nothing. That's probably what you're going to get out of it, because you get nothing for the blessing that we're going to enjoy. How's your witness? I'm telling you, these things will help you if you'll just let them. You said, we're going to get down to shouting ground just yet. We're almost there. Verse number 8. Paul says in 6, 7, and 8, I'm ready to be offered. He's talking about his course. He said, my departure's at hand. I fought the fight. He said, I finished my course. In other words, he said, hey, I might not be there yet. In this past year, I might not be there yet. Brother John, he can see the finish line. He's the one, no doubt, been beaten in perils of robbers and thieves, perils of his own countrymen. I mean, brother, he's had it going on. He got failing eyesight, everything. Paul's about, he's been in prison here, he's been in prison there. They let him over a wall in a basket. He's just a basket case. He's been beaten how many times? 39 times, saved over and over. He almost killed him many times. He's like that, Brother Jody. He's limping along at the latter end of his life.
Yes.
Carried by his father.
Amen.
Propped up by the Lord Almighty. He said, I finished my course. But look what it said in verse number 8. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown. Remember, my friends, that there's a crown. There's several distinct crowns that can be had and be won in the Bible. The crown of life, the crown of rejoicing. I bless God, the crown of righteousness. And bless God, some of these, Brother Troy, they fadeth not away. And I'm glad, preacher, that there's a crown up there, Brother Chris. As the songwriter said, there's a crown and you can win it. Wow, that really felt good. If you go in Jesus' name. There's a crown. Remember, bless God, that there's a crown awaiting on us. And don't give up. We don't run for that. Brother Jody, I've got water if that's what you're going for, brother. I've got two bottles. Anyway, I just can't sing when I'm preaching. Anyway, go with me just a minute to the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6. I want you to see this, Hebrews 11. And I was there just a minute ago whenever I was talking about Moses and how that he would rather suffer the affliction with God's people than enjoy the sin for a season. I want you to see this. Bless God, somebody in here today needs to understand that you need some help, but the help is right there before you. You need something for your hurt, but the hurt is right there. And bless God, it can be taken away. All you got to do is get to the right source and just keep on going for the glory of God. Hebrews chapter number 11 in verse number 6, the Bible said, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Let's stop right there just a minute. My God, you got to believe that he is. Do you hear me? You got to believe that he is. And my God, do you believe that he is? Do you believe that he gave his only begotten son? Do you believe that he died on the cross? Do you believe that he rose again the third day? Do you believe he went to heaven and sent us back on the day of Pentecost? I bless God, the Holy Spirit of promise that abides with us even today. The Bible said that for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What are you talking about, preacher? Bless God, there's a crown to be won, and he is going to reward us for this thing, Brother Tim. We ain't running without a reward. There is a prize at the end. You said, I'm just running for eternal life. Bless God, it's more to it than just that. Bless God, get a couple crowns along the way. Can you see me going up through there with a crown on my head? And bless God, Brother Tim, I get to bow before his feet and I get to lay that crown down. Bless God. How beautiful would that be to be able to give back to him something because he gave so much for us? Yes. I'm telling you, man, this thing's real. I give you a little visual. A simple little parable is all that was, of a man running a race that has an affliction and his father has to prop him up and help him. Is that not what this is? Is that not what this service here today is? Is that not what's going on in our lives? Brother Chris, we run and we get hurt. He helps us. We keep on going. Brother Derek, we pull up lame. He comes in. He helps us. We get up and we go again. Over and over and over, the thing repeats itself. Remember, there's a reward coming. There's a crown to be won. I want you to see three things about this crown real quick. I'm getting ready to close this thing down. I've said this many times before. You won't get to heaven and say, how did I get here? You'll know. You'll know. That crown, if we go back to that same verse, look what it said. There is laid up. You remember the prodigal story? Go kill the fatted calf. What kind of a calf? Any old calf? The fatted calf. What was that? The one that we put up whenever he left. What's up? What, you say, how'd you get that out of this? There's a crown. What's it say, preacher? It says it's laid up. What does that mean? That's a prepared crown for a prepared heart that trusted in Almighty God. Bless God. It's not just a prepared crown. Look what it said, the next two words. What kind? And bless God, that's a it's a prepared crown, but it's a very personal crown. Why? Because it was laid up for me. That becomes mine, brother. And bless God, it's laid up. And that's the way that God did this thing. He's laid up in store over there things for us. Bless God, but they become very personal when he said, Paul said, that it's laid up for me. It ain't just laid up, but it's laid up for me. My goodness. Man, you could preach all over the place right there. You said, what else about that crown? The last thing about that crown is, look what it said. What kind of a crown was it? It was a precious, precious, precious crown. Why? Because it's a crown of righteousness. Okay, well, you said that was for me. No, wait a minute. We know about my righteousness. So if that laid up or that prepared crown is personal for me, but it's still precious, then who's righteous? What makes it precious is because of the Lord. It's not mine. My righteousness is filthy. But Paul said, my righteousness is dirty, but bless God, his is shining through. He said, it is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, and he shows where the righteous come from. He said, the righteous judge shall give me at that day. Listen to me, my friends. This stuff will help you if you'll let it. We preach through these messages on help and help and help. Get your head up. If you can't lift it up, let him lift it up for you. The verse was last chapter 3 of the book of Psalm, the lifter up of mine head, Brother Tim. How much more plain can God be to us? I'd like to just, Miss Jen, I like to preach other things, but God says keep going here. We keep going there. I wonder, is it resonating? Is it getting through Robert Church? You might be the most hard-headed person in the world. But God's not after your head. He's after your heart. And that's what he's been doing. He's sending messages to prick somebody's heart. I don't know if it's Dot Marlowe. I don't know if it's Jan. I don't know who it is. And I surely don't know what the hurt is. I don't know what the affliction is. But I do know this. When you pull that hamstring and you pull up lame and you're limping through life, bless God, you're not limping alone. You've got somebody that knows what you're going through. Honey, we just buried your dear husband a few weeks back. And I can't imagine, I can't imagine the level of grief. I can't imagine that. My mind can't go there. I used to say that about somebody that would lose their mother, as Brother Scott lost his mother. And I could say, Brother, I don't know what you're going through because I've never been there. I lost my mother in March. Now I can say, Brother, I know how you feel. But I've never lost my companion of life. I've never lost my life's mate. I can't imagine your hurt, honey. But I do know this. Keep on going. Honey, there's a help for that. I'm preaching about it right now. There's a help for that. There's help for what you've got right now. It might not be the death of a spouse. You might have been the one that got an illness report back. You might be the one that got the diagnosis. It just didn't line up with the way you had hoped. I don't know what you're going through, and I surely don't know what this is for today. But I do know this. God sent it. I've delivered it. Now it's up to you to respond to it. Brother Scott, Miss Macy, come down.